Hey, y'all, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My special guest today is Sherry Speroni. Sherry has got a book about how to get rid of the worrying in your life, how to stop worrying, get off the worry-go-round, as she calls it, and to reduce some of the stress in your life. We're going to have a really cool discussion with Sherry. Right after this, I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. We'd love to hear from you. You can catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com, MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Started our interview with Sherry, asking her a little bit about her background as we went into her book, Why We Are Wired to Worry and How Neuroscience Will Help Us Fix It. Sherry had to fight some demons herself, and let's pick up the conversation.
And finally, I could not resist that any longer. I had to try medication. That did not work real well. I had an allergic reaction. And then it began a 6.5-year journey of trying to get balance on medication. Now, prior to this, I was this counselor who strove to find out how to balance these kids after they were getting off drugs, how to balance their moods. So I was taking a lot of classes on pharmacology back in the 80s. That was really all that was available on explaining what was going on with our brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. So that's what I had a good handle on that. But I had to do my own research, my own digging, and eventually just had to resign myself that medicine wasn't going to work. Mm-hmm. I was going to be in and out of hospitals. Every year I was locked up for a month or more. And then I had this incredible event. I won't go into all of that right now, but the illness was completely eradicated over a 4-night period. And I did not expect this. I did not have the trust or faith for it, and it happened anyway. Hmm. So sometimes you just have to trust a higher power that he's got bigger plans. And from then on, it was a whole new understanding what could happen in the brain that could cause this to happen. Whether or not you believe it happens from the universe, your beliefs, higher power, or God, in my case, I do believe in God. I believe it's kind of God's way of tipping his hand, saying, mm-hmm. hey, this is possible. Because he doesn't operate outside of his own paradigm, rules, the way the universe is put together. And, he was saying, this is possible. Now, that was in 1996, Rodney. And ironically, in 1996, neuroscience finally confirmed that neuroplasticity existed, which is your brain's ability to modify itself, change, get smarter, get better at an instrument, learn new things. Mm-hmm. Even if you lost your eyesight, your ears would begin to hear almost superhuman because the part of your brain that used to handle your eyesight will now join forces with the auditory area, doubling your ability to hear. So our brain is really a tremendous frontier right now to be explored. And understanding all of this, I teach people how to use that information and retrain their brain to be less reactive, calmer, and actually be happy by allowing yourself to feel happiness. And there is a very big difference.
Okay. Well, it must take a lot of work because you also say that we're pre-wired to worry. And, all of us worry, right? So how is it that we're pre-wired? Let's start there. Tell us about that.
Okay. Through evolution, if you are here, here's something Ancestry.com cannot tell you. You are from a long line of warriors. How I know that is the fact that you're here. See, 15,000 years ago, when our ancestors were roaming around the Serengeti, all that mattered was seeing another sunrise. You were wired for long-lasting life, not for long-lasting happiness. And your brain did not care what made you smile or laugh. and only cared whether or not you could go into flight or fight mode as fast as possible to get yourself out of danger. This is all handled by a little area in your brain about the size of your fingernail. And the area is called the amygdala. Please, you listeners out there, don't get freaked out. You're going to be hearing this name for a long time to come. It's called amygdala. It's Latin for the word almond. I guess when they didn't know what something did, they just named it for what it looked like. Okay. So that little area, when it heard a rustle in the bushes or you saw something you did not recognize, it told you to get the hell out of there and fast. There was no waiting around. There was no analyzing. Now, 15,000 years ago, here's what you were threatened by. An animal, a lion, snake. What about your tribe? If they didn't like the way your hair was standing up every morning, they could vote to just get you out of there, and you were going to be lunch by noon. So a look from a tribe member that wasn't good, or new people showing up, they weren't showing up to say, hey, what's going on, you know? No, they clubbed you and took your food. As a woman, if your mate, whoever you were mating with at the time, looked unhappy with you, you did everything in your power to please him. Because if he left, you and your offspring would die. And to a woman, offspring was all that mattered. Now, for whatever reason, Rodney, this didn't change through the last, you know, thousands of years. It has not upgraded. And there are some reasons for that. I won't go into that, but we have to take a part in changing that. Now what happens is you have this amygdala that when you get 100 emails, or you get a notice in the mail that you're overdrawn in your bank, or that cable is now going to, you know, charge you even more money, or your car makes a funny noise, your amygdala reacts as if you're going to die. Its job is to keep you alive and protect you, but it doesn't know that the modern experiences of obstacles or disappointments are not life-threatening. Doesn't understand that. So it does not look for what's good in your life. You get a hug, it says, okay, that's nice, pass it on by, it's not going to keep you alive. It doesn't know. So we have to retrain it by teaching it what new things to look for. Now, can I keep going, or would you like me to pause a moment with a question?
Well, what I'd like to do is just kind of stop there and try to figure out, you know, all of us are going to worry. When is it too much? You know, when is it something, when do we see ourselves worrying so much that we need some kind of intervention, right? How do we know?
It comes down to more than worry. See, your amygdala doesn't just tell you to worry. Let's give some examples. How many people out there can attest to when your head hits the pillow, you're exhausted, and your mind takes off like a shot? It's revisiting conversations that you had that you didn't like how it went. It's revisiting conversations you have with people who are already past, or it's projecting into the future about the issues you have to deal with in the morning.
Correct.
Here's the thing, Rodney. Your brain does not know the difference between real or imagined. Now, scientists now know that 80% of our thoughts are exactly the same from day to day. Some studies even say it's higher, like 90%. We revisit the same issues in our lives over and over and over without realizing it. It's not just worry, it's frustration, it's fear, fight, it's being paid off, it's, you know, wanting to tell someone off. All of this comes down to your brain saying you have to fight to protect five areas: love, health, money, status, security. All of these areas mean death to your brain. So anything that happens isn't just worry. Sometimes you're watching TV, you don't think you're worrying, but your brain in the background is stressing out, going, what if, what if? That may be as far as it gets, but that's enough to trigger your amygdala. And your brain doesn't know that it's not happening in the now. So it's not about figuring out when is it enough to worry. Worry is a waste. What you want to do is be proactive. Sit down, write a plan. Figure out what the questions you have. Make a plan of action as to how you'll get the answers to that, who you can resource, ask friends, I have this issue, I need some advice. Even from just finding a good mechanic to figuring out where you want to go to school and, you know, take some classes, you know, whatever it might be, the people out there have already done it. Ask some questions, because worry is useless. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. And the stress that it's causing on your body is so damaging. Now, let me just for a moment interject. I know that some of your listeners, you've got listeners out there that are ex-convicts, that are either being released or have been released. Your amygdala is so finely tuned for defense, it's going to literally take a little bit more effort and could take longer than the typical 3 weeks in my book to undo all of that. But it's possible. It's almost like you're coming out of a cult. You're so conditioned for self-survival and preservation when you're incarcerated. You can't be yourself. The whole personality is different. You know, you're in fight or flight mode all the time. So to undo that, you're just going to use the same steps that I've employed in my book, but it changes in 3 weeks for the average person. So maybe somebody's been incarcerated, you know, they might have to go for an extra 2 weeks, but the changes will be evident right away. In 2 weeks, you'll notice. And I can give you an example. I had someone who said to me, I've got a pretty decent life and all I do is worry. I keep thinking I deserve less than what I have, and I keep thinking that at some point it's going to fall away. Well, after reading my book and employing some of these things where she began to just take in so much of the good around her, she programmed her brain to feel happiness. You don't be happy. You feel happiness. That when those thoughts would come around, they didn't affect her anymore. Mm-hmm. See, it's impossible to become angry when you experience two things, gratitude and appreciation. You literally cannot experience the biochemical reaction of anger when you're in that state. So you make it a point a couple times a day to find the things you're grateful for. And, you know, Rodney, there's things like just having clean socks, clean sheets, or, you know, a meal on the table. All of those things bypass us because we're programmed to overlook them and think less of them. Because our brain doesn't know that those are the things that keep us alive today. It's going through life with a smile on your face. You're always going to take care of business, but worrying about it gets you nowhere and reduces your whole energy field so that you start to feel more afraid than you need to. You don't have the creative answers because your brain isn't free enough to come up with them. It's too stressed out.
So using your techniques will help. It affects your mood as well. I mean, so you're just in a better mood?
Oh, absolutely. It's fascinating when it starts to happen. My favorite is I was practicing this about 2.5 weeks. And I was pulling into a parking lot. And as I went to take a parking space, I was only like 15 feet away, and a car just pulled in right in front of me. I was dumbfounded. Now, the old me would have gotten out of the car, and we would have had to have a talk. And I let out a superlative, one I wasn't proud of, and then I laughed. And I said, that was out of habit. I'm not really ticked off. I don't even care. Because as I was driving there, I happened to be, I'm staying present now, and I'm thinking, I got a car, and it drives, and it's not broken down right now, and it's working fine. And I allow that to soak in. And all you have to do, Robbie, is teach your brain to find the good things and take 10 seconds. Just take 10 seconds to let it sink in and create an emotion. A great example of this is I was online with somebody at a store. We got to talking. She said, so what do you do? I said, I teach people how to be happy in 10 seconds or less. Without a blink, she said, hey, I'm not happy right now. I don't want to be online. She said, make me happy. I said, okay, do you have any kids or a pet? She said, I have a great golden retriever. I said, terrific, close your eyes. Imagine when you come home, you're opening the door, you hear his feet on the kitchen floor, he greets you, and he starts smothering you with kisses. And that's all I had to say, and a smile comes across her face. She opens her eyes, she goes, I do feel happier. And I said, that's all it takes. Now what happens, Rodney, is your brain goes, yeah, but... Well, you still have this to pay, or you still have this to do. You know what? That's true. But you'll take care of those things. It doesn't prevent you from being happy now. All we need is our permission. But we're convinced that we have to have all of our ducks in a row before we can have it. We have to have the divorce, you know, in place. We have to have lost that weight. We have to get that raise, that promotion, whatever.
Right.
And that, until we get those things, we tell ourselves we can't be happy until then. It's all a myth. It's all a lie.
I really like the idea of the visualization there. That's nice. And I think that does help people. We're going to take a real quick break, Sherry. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
train never come back. Wrong way on a one-way track. Seems like I should be getting somewhere. So far, I'm neither here nor there.
Love to hear from you. You can always catch me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com. MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing. Welcome back. We're talking with Sherry Speroni. We're talking about how to reduce some stress in our lives by getting rid of the worrying. And Sherry, the book comes with the workbook. How does that work?
What I did is, and don't get nervous out there. You hear a workbook, you say, hell with it. I don't want to have to do it. No, it's fun and it's easy and it's not endless writing. Nothing like that. I have you do exercises at the end of each chapter, whatever we're talking about. I'll tell you to take some steps to go experience exactly what I'm talking about. From writing down 5 myths that you believe that had to be in place before you would allow yourself to be happy, or the belief about yourself that you're not good enough or you don't deserve it. Things like that. But then I have you do things, Rodney, like go into a store and make eye contact. And you know what people find out? They, especially over here in the Northeast, they don't want to make eye contact. People, they automatically assume they don't want to look at you. Well, now I have them go in and smile, and people light up like a Christmas tree. Now, not everyone, certainly. There's some people who look right through you. Your practice is to then not get annoyed. But the bottom line is you realize that you're just like everybody else. You're keeping your head down. You're not allowing yourself to feel connected, to be engaged, to share yourself with other people. It's okay. We are happiest when we're connected and when we have a purpose. And I cannot stress this enough for the people out there listening. You need to find why you've gone through the life you have and where is your message, because you don't get a message without having a mess. And the day that you begin to share that message with someone else, your whole life is going to turn around. It's the most powerful thing there is for someone's happiness. Scientists have proven that over and over again.
Okay. And I think you've really kind of already touched on this, but let's try it again. The specifics about how the book and the workbook can help an ex-offender. Tell me about that.
What's really nice is the workbook takes into account anyone in any kind of place, wherever they might be. So they can, it's applicable to anyone in any type of circumstances, and it's going to fit into your modality, whatever you're dealing with, because the questions are very open-ended. They're not, you know, specific, and I'm certainly not asking you about what you read in my book. That's not important. It's about you. Now, I've had other people take this book and tell me that they're only halfway through, and it's completely rewiring their head and how they think. Now, here's something that people need to understand. You have something, an area in your brain called the reticular activating system. I know it's a big word, but all it means is when you decide you want to buy, let's say, a Volkswagen, when you're driving around, you start seeing Volkswagens everywhere. It's a magical part of your brain that figures out what you want to focus on, and then it starts to draw your attention. So after you're going through this book, and because you're taking some time to do the workbook, you're finding yourself going through your day, catching yourself with the negativity, catching yourself with the storytelling. That's a big one, Rodney, for everyone. We tell a story. Something doesn't go your way, oh, it figures. Oh, my life's never going to work out. That's one of the first areas I address in the book. Stop the narration. These are stories we tell ourselves, and they keep us locked. that keep us stuck in a place where we never can move forward because we let our history dictate to us. So one of the people that had written to me about my book was someone who had had a very hard life and was hospitalized a lot. And every time something went wrong, they just chalked it up to my life's never going to be any better. Well, after reading the book, about halfway through, this person stopped doing that. She said it was like a weight came off her shoulders. She said, I found myself almost predicting so much doom and gloom that I was miserable because of what I thought was coming, not only what I was experiencing. And that's the kind of stuff that it has to come off. We've got to stop the narration. We all do it. You know, oh, my ship will come in when I'm at the airport. We have these, you know, terrible feelings of, you know, one thing goes wrong and we let it color all of our circumstances. And that history, especially with ex-offenders, has got to be dropped. Start hanging around with people who aren't going to see you like you've always been. One of the most important things, you don't need to be around people who know your past and your history. Let people look at you with a clean slate, because that's where you need to start off, and then develop that story that you know is developing through your life that's going to help somebody out there. And that will give you the greatest meaning of all. Did that help at all?
That's excellent. Thank you for that advice, because I think you're right on target. How do we find out more about you, and how do we get the book?
Simply go to Amazon, and you can just type in Why We Are Wired to Worry. The book will probably come right up. And from there, you can see my name. You can Google my name, go to my website. If anyone is out there and you're struggling and you don't have money for that book, go to my website. You'll see my contact information. You send me an email. No one will be turned down. I make sure everyone will get my book. And ex-offenders, and there's other people just coming out of situations that are brutal. And, hey, they're behind the eight ball. And certainly, I'm there from time to time. My life is far from easy. Trust me, and if you have me on another time, I'll go into all that stuff. But, you know, we've all got that uphill climb. And, you know, I'm not going to stand in the way of anybody getting better. I won't do that. I've made that commitment a long time ago. I turn no one away. So you just send me an email. I'll make sure you get a copy of the book. There, it's available on Kindle, or even better, which is an Audible book. And the Audible book writing is doing so well. I'm selling like 70 a month.
Cool.
Because people want to drive around and just listen. You know, let it sink in. I love audiobooks. It's very helpful to me.
I think Amazon's got a deal right now where you can do a 30-day trial with the Audible, and your book is free on that.
Yes. So
that's a good way to do it if you'd like to do it. Okay, Sherry Speroni, the book is called Why We Are Wired to Worry and How Neuroscience Will Help You Fix It. Stop stressing, reduce anxiety, and feel happy finally, with an exclamation point. Sherry, thank you so much for being here on the Journey of Hope today.
Oh, thank you, Rodney. I love being here.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
Like it really sucks, and I don't own a gun or want to freeze hunting deer. Can't stand the taste of that damn Lone Star beer, but I live in the city. It's where I belong. Ain't gotta plow no fields to write a country song on.
Hey, everybody, we've got a great bunch of shows coming up in the next few weeks here on the Journey of Hope as we close out the summer and go into the fall. If you know someone who can benefit from the kinds of things that we talk about here, please tell them about the podcast. And if you know of a topic or a guest that would benefit the listeners, let me know. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. I want to thank my very special guest today, Sherry Speroni, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.